Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and tonight we're going to have another very exciting, interesting show. My first guest is Don Miguel Ruiz, who was in New York recently, and he is taking a whole bunch of people to Teotihuacan in August for a great initiation. Don Miguel, are you there?
Yes, I'm so happy to be with you. It's an honor to be in your
yes.
show again.
We had a great time in New York with you. People loved you here. But I'm interested in what this trip, what are the dates of the trip to Teotihuacan?
Teotihuacan is an archaeological site that is very close to Mexico City. It's like 35, 40 miles from Mexico City.
Right, and it's an incredible site. It's an ancient site. There's the Pyramid of the Sun there, and the Pyramid of the Moon, and you're going to be leading a bunch of people there for, would you say, a kind of Toltec initiation? What will you be doing there with the people?
Well, it's something that we call a power journey. It's all about to live in the most beautiful dream, because in this site, long time ago, there was all those scientists and artists who used to live there and create the most beautiful thing. And at this time, we're going to be there, and we will do a great initiation, and it will be about the initiation of death, that we can understand the moment of transformation, because it's something that is happening all the time.
Uh-huh. Well, death as a moment of transformation, but not the end of life.
Right? Not exactly, but it's a transformation that is happening all the time. You know, when we live our life, like this is the very last day of our life, we can have a big view of all the possibilities, everything that we can do, and everything is possible. We can plan for a long future, but the planning is today, and that's what we live all the time, is here and now. And we let go all those attachments that create all those beliefs that limit any of our expressions. And it's something so beautiful. And, you know, most of the teachers that I trained for all those years will be present, and they will bring their apprentices. And it's a unique time.
Oh, so this is a real culmination of a lot of your teaching. So, because you've been a teacher, and they're all coming together at this site in Teotihuacan.
Yes, and it's a very special moment also, because by August the 27th, Mars will be the closest that it's been to the Earth in more than 5,000 years.
Who is the originator? Who built it? What civilization built those monuments? Because they're massive there. They're big.
Yes, this is. It was built 2,500 years ago.
By who?
It's the result of a dream of one man. One man went into a cave and had the most beautiful and profound dream. And he dreamed Teotihuacan. He dreamed a dream that it means to transform humanity and change from living in drama, violence, hell, into the most beautiful dream that I call heaven. Then this man, he called himself the Smoky Mirror.
Uh-huh.
Because in that vision, he saw that matter is just a mirror, and every human is just a mirror, and we are reflecting light all the time, and light is real, light is truth, and light is the messenger of life, and is life the one who moves matter. Then when we talk about evolution, we can see that the matter that is more evolved is the one who have a bigger reaction into reflection of light. Like in our case of humans, our brain, it reflects light and create a whole reality, an exact copy of what really exists.
So this is what people will be learning when they do this retreat with you, huh?
Well, when they come here, they're going to face all those fears that they create, all those beliefs that push them into all those limitations that they create, and they take responsibility from maybe the first time of their life, in every decision, every choice that they made, they let go and they find out that it was true that we're living in illusion, because everything is really an illusion, but looks so real, and in society looks extremely real. But when we let go all those feelings, it's like going to therapy for 5-10 years, and it's only 3-4 days.
So is there something, because people can do that anywhere with right teachers, but is there something about the place that makes that kind of transformation special?
Well, that place in Teotihuacan, like I was telling you before, is the result of a dream of one man who into for more than 250,000 men who live in Teotihuacan at that time. We're talking 2,500 years ago. In the dream, he perceive what means to live in peace, in harmony, with respect, respecting everything that exists. And the present time is exactly what we are needed, a return to respect, a return to truth, a return to ourselves, and becomes authentic once again.
You know, in the Carlos Castaneda tradition, they talk about the Avenue of the Dead there, but it was also a place where the main shaman would climb the Pyramid of the Sun, and they'd be meditating for days, and he would just say, now, and he said the whole bunch of his warriors would just be taken into the invisible realm.
Well, it was called the Avenue of Death. It's even today, and archaeologists know that it's the Avenue of Death, and it's not because they buried the people around, like in Egypt, for example. No, it's because whoever is dead can walk through this avenue. And when I see what whoever is dead is whoever let go all those all the selfishness and all those beliefs that make them live in that kind of hell. Then only the dead people can walk from that avenue. And that initiation of that, we will walk in that direction, and we will release everything that attaches to all those suffering that we create by recognizing that we are the artists who created, and we can shift it. Because when we become, we can say we have the initiation of that, we really become alive. And finally, we can enjoy every single moment of our life from that moment on. We can let go all those superstitions and everything that make us really unhappy.
So it's a personal transformation, but it's also a group transformation as well, right? Because it'll have an effect on the planet. Would you say?
Well, right now, it's going to be in one of the highest places of my teaching. Because I will be focused mainly in the apprentices that learn from me, and they will release it with all the ones that they teach right now in their own way. Mm. You know, it's like we can say an act of power or an act of truth, as a recognition that our planet is becoming to an end of a era and the beginning to a new one. Like we can say, we are getting close to the end of all the superstitions, to the end of all that fanaticism, and return to truth.
To truth and love. Because
yes, to become authentic. to be yourself.
Is this new teachings? I mean, is this stuff you have not revealed before that's going to be happening there? Or?
Well, the truth is that it's been revealed from thousands of years all around the world, not only in Mexico and in Teotihuacan. It's been revealed in Egypt, in Greece, in India, and all those great cultures when they create what they call the Initiatic School or Hermetic School.
Mm.
Is what my son, Don Jose, is calling angel training. You know, Hermes is the messenger of the gods, and what Jose is sharing is that, yes, we believe in angels, and the word angel means messenger, and in this beautiful planet exists 6 billion of messengers. Each one of us, we are the messengers. We are the angels, but the question is, what kind of message do we deliver? What is the message that we give to our parents, the message that we give to our beloved, the message that we give to our children, to humanity, to society, but mainly, what is the message that we deliver to ourselves? Mm-hmm. Then in that angel training, we train messengers to stop being messengers of lies and become messengers of truth. Whatever that means for everyone.
Well, it's what we shared in the video interview we did. It's dropping into an authentic space. It was a really beautiful moment we shared together, and I think people have a chance to see that up on my website, newrealities.com. But this sounds like a really, really great time. If people want to find out about this, it's on your website, right?
Yes, www.miguelruiz.com.
Right. So, yes, I totally recommend it. It sounds like a lot of fun. So, just a little bit more about this new era that we're moving into. What do you see coming to the planet?
Well, what I see is that humanity is the way that they evolve is through periods of stability. In periods of crisis, then in the period of crisis is when we change everything that we don't like, and after the period of crisis comes another period of stability, where everything gets settled, everything starts working what they call normal at that time, and then come another period of crisis where we rebel again for whatever we used to believe before, but something that we can see. Is that what we call crisis is really a time of opportunity to make changes.
But are we changing? Are we shifting out of that way of working, crisis, then resolution? We're changing that, aren't we?
The entire humanity is going into that change.
Yeah.
Because the crisis is all around the world.
And
because we don't like it, we want something better. Because when we grow up, we inherited the society from our parents, from our grandparents. And now is our time to change it, to change the legacy and create a better world for our children, for our grandchildren. And in that way, the entire humanity will become better and better and better. And this is how it's been evolving for centuries and centuries.
Well, I'm really looking forward to, you know, spending more time. So your dates in Teotihuacan is the 24th to the 27th. And then I also see on your website, 2012, we're going to do something in the Yucatan, right, to celebrate
in the 2012 is the end of the Mayan calendar.
Yes.
And all of this is preparation for that time, because it will be something spectacular, something so beautiful.
What do you see? Something on that day particularly coming? What do you
well,
see?
Well, it's an agreement that we all humans start doing already. You know, this is when I come back and I help everybody, please help me to change the world. Obviously, I'm not talking about the planet. I'm talking about the human mind. And the world that we are changing is the way that we inherited from our parents, all the belief system that we create, and the world who rules our life, because nobody can change that world but us. Then, with our agreement of everyone, we focus the date, December 21st, 2012, to give the meaning to that change, to end once for all the, with all the superstition and all the fanaticism, and to return to the truth. And that's exactly what the next book that I wrote with my son, Don Jose, it will be about. That it will be released like in 3 or 4 months more.
Great. Well, thank you, Don Miguel, for being a guest.
Thank you for this invitation. It's a pleasure with me, for me.
Oh, it's always great talking to you, too. Don Miguel's website is miguelruiz.com. That's miguelruiz.com. And all the dates and information is there. So thanks so much.
Well, thank you very much.
And I look forward to speaking to you soon, and have a great trip and initiation with all those students.
Hello, my love for everybody.
Yes, yes, and people can look for my interview with Don Miguel on the website, my television interview. So be in touch, Don Miguel. Lots of love to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you so much. That was Don Miguel Ruiz, a master teacher, a master shaman on the planet. And next guest coming up is an associate of Eric Von Daniken, who just wrote a book called History is Wrong, and we're going to be exploring just what is wrong with history. And because Eric Von Daniken is in Europe, Georgios Tsoukalos will be speaking about the theories that Eric Von Daniken has put forth in this book, in this latest book. And let's see if we can get Giorgio on the line. Seth, how's our second guest coming along? And this is a book that just came out, and he goes into lots of detail, lots of ancient manuscripts published by New Page Books. And it's a very interesting, I'm going to be talking particularly about this Voynich manuscript that is indecipherable, and people are not really sure what it says, although there's many keys to sort of a higher consciousness in there. So, Seth? Oh, okay, Giorgio.
Yes.
Oh, thank you for being a guest on New Realities. I'm very excited about this book that Eric Von Daniken wrote. Just tell me about your association with Eric Von Daniken.
Well, in essence, he is my boss, but we've been friends for almost 20 years now, and together we publish a magazine called Legendary Times. And it's the only magazine in the world that's dedicated to the ancient astronaut theory. And that is Eric Von Daniken's claim to fame, that he basically popularized the ancient astronaut theory, which proposes that a long, long time ago, in mankind's remote history, Earth was visited by extraterrestrials.
Well, I mean, when Eric Von Daniken came forward, I guess it was in the 70s, it really revolutionized so much. It was an opening for me, and part of the reasons I do this show is because of what Von Daniken brought forth as alternative theories of history. So it's great to have this connection there.
It's quite amazing. I mean, the first book that you're referring to that was, you know, this groundbreaking work was Chariots of the Gods. And, I mean, that's just such a world-famous title, such a world-famous book, and so many people have read it. And, you know, now his new book, History is Wrong, that's his 29th title since Chariots of the Gods. I mean, what a prolific career. And, you know, and as time went along, the books got increasingly better and better with more information and with more ironclad evidence, with more ironclad proof, because, you know, he himself, Eric, has come forward in many private conversations with me and friends, but also he has come forward in public about this, that granted, there were a couple of mistakes in Chariots of the Gods, but that doesn't mean that the entire book was false. See, what nobody does is nobody read the 237 question marks that he put in Chariots of the Gods. Even the title had a question mark.
But it's not just that there are aliens visiting us then. I think they're still here and they're visiting us. I mean, there's no reference in this new book to crop circles, which I think is the most fascinating phenomena. Could you tell me why he didn't mention that?
The reason for that is quite simple. I mean, the work that Eric von Däniken does, or, you know, the work that I do, and the articles or research that we publish in the pages of Legendary Times magazine, we deal exclusively with ancient astronauts. And by definition, our UFOs, our extraterrestrials, visited Earth thousands and thousands of years ago. Now, that does not negate, or that does not mean that we think that the modern UFO phenomenon is not taking place. Of course it is, and absolutely are we being visited today. There's absolutely no question. But, you know, that research, we leave that to the modern UFO field. There is, you know, brilliant UFO investigators that we are very proud to, you know, consider our colleagues, to be our colleagues. And so, you know, to each their own, you know, branch of research. And ours, you know, our UFOs, like I've mentioned before, happened thousands and thousands of years ago. Now, here's the interesting thing about crop circles. There are two etchings that can be found in the Middle Ages in England and one in Germany that speaks of the Devil's Field. And both of them are eerily reminiscent of modern-day crop circles. So the crop circle phenomenon is not necessarily new or confined to this and last century, but, you know, it goes back 500, 600, 700 years. And yes, we did report about that one in Legendary Times.
Oh, really? Maybe I'll write an article for you about it, because I was just there in England and last year, actually, and it's fantastic. And the new ones this year, actually, there's one this year that's very much related to the hummingbird of the Nazca lines that you mentioned in History is Wrong. So
yeah, now that is very, very interesting. It would be great if you could send me a picture of that.
I will definitely. But getting back to von Däniken's theory, what does he also say about, the 12th planet stuff and Zachariah Sitchin's work? Because he makes a similar claim. Of course, von Däniken was the first to come out publicly, but Sitchin has the whole thing about being seeded by extraterrestrials. We're actually a race that mated with the primates that are here because of extraterrestrials, humans.
Sure, I mean that is basic. This goes right into the whole idea of what the basic premise of the ancient astronaut theory actually is, and the basic premise, the definition of it, says that a long, long time ago, not only were we visited by extraterrestrials, but that through a targeted mutation of our genes, they created Homo sapiens. Because one thing is crystal clear, that a quantum leap happened between when we were just, you know, eating bananas in caves, and then all of a sudden we're building an irrigation system, and then we're building pyramids. And, you know, there's no, you know, because everyone would have to agree that the first car was, you know, Ford's Model T. And then, you know, today you have the Ford Taurus, you have, you know, a more advanced car. So to suggest that, you know, we were the first ones, you know, at first we built the pyramids and then everything else followed would be the same thing to say that, you know, Henry Ford's first car was not the Model T, but it was in fact the Ford Taurus. Now, anyone would have to agree that does not make any sense. So there is no evolution in technology. There is an evolution in the fossil record. There are the predecessors of our species and so on and so forth, and, you know, from long time ago. But the bottom line is that each species just appeared out of nowhere. The in-between stage that, you know, evolutionists are looking for today they can't find the fossil record
right.
from the one
punctuated evolution is what it's called, and it's
exactly.
like there's no in between species. That's what was wrong with Darwin's original theory.
Well, even Darwin, anyone who has read The Origin of Species has to say, or has read the one quote where he says, you know, I really like my theory, but something doesn't make sense, and thus, that I shall call the missing link.
Mm.
And in the ancient astronaut hypothesis, the missing link is the extraterrestrial intervention of our genes.
Well, I think that's true. So what does he think of Sitchin's work, von Däniken? Does he discuss...
Oh, they're great colleagues. Of
course, they are.
I mean, both, okay. You know, I mean, Zechariah writes for Legendary Times. He's
okay.
been a long time contributor. So, yes, of course. I mean, they're the two grand masters of this whole movement. And we're
right,
very
they
proud
certainly
to have them, yes, absolutely.
Oh, no, it's very exciting because they have changed, for me at least, the paradigm of who we are as a human race. And hopefully
mm-hmm.
they will do that globally at some point once science catches up with the truth. But getting back to the title, History is Wrong, well, there's two points I want to discuss. The Voynich manuscript, which you make a big point of in this book, and also the title, History is Wrong, I couldn't quite get... why you called it that book, that name, History is Wrong.
Well, first of all, it's always the publisher that in the end picks the title. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't necessarily Eric's pick. I mean, the German version of the book is called Falsely Informed. So
okay.
History is Wrong. They thought it might be a bit more of a catchy title. But that's all right, because... yes, history is wrong the way we're taught in school.
You mean the evolutionary side or what else? Yeah.
Anything.
Oh.
What, Columbus was the first discoverer of America? Baloney.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean,
right.
all those things. Or that, you know, the earliest civilization is only, you know, 6,000-7,000 years old. No way. I mean, all of India has civilizations or a civilization that goes back 10,000, 20, 30, 40,000 years.
Not only that, the further back you go in Egyptian civilization, the more advanced their temples were. So, and they seem to have come out of nowhere. You know, they're building huts one day, and then they're designing the Great Pyramid. And,
you're a man of my heart, exactly.
Yeah.
That is so true. The older a monument is, the more perfect. And anything that followed, the more junky it is. I mean, the biggest pieces of stone that have been used all over the world, you know, is the earliest time pause, thousands of years ago. Anything that followed after, they started to use only fist-size stones and put them on top of these ancient megalithic structures. And the
right.
question is, you know, how was this even possible? Because I have structural engineers who have mm-hmm. talked to Eric, and they've also talked to me, where they've come forward in public by saying that even with our modern technology, we couldn't replicate some of this ancient stuff. We didn't have the technology to do this. So if we can't do it, what, they did it with wooden rollers back then? I don't think so.
Well, the most interesting book that Velikovsky wrote was Ramses II. Have you read that book by Velikovsky?
I have not. I have
oh,
not,
he,
but that's an interesting, I will write that down.
You should write that down because he goes back to Sumerian history and talks about the older the Sumerians were and how sort of the time frame of the Egyptians and the Babylonians are off and the great influence of other civilizations, maybe Atlantean, or John West says, he says the A word. He never says Atlantis, but he says the A word may have influenced the Egyptians. So, yeah, throughout history, you're absolutely right. It does seem like the older the civilization, the more sophisticated it is, and there's a de-evolution of the culture into what we have today in America, eating hamburgers. No, I'm kidding. But I think the other part of the book that's very interesting is the real big focus on the Voynich manuscript. Now, let's go into some detail about what that is.
Well, the truth of the matter is that no one really knows what the Voynich manuscript really is. I mean, it was a manuscript that was discovered, or that a New York book antiquarian came across, and thus it was named Voynich, because that was the guy's last name.
That's V-O-Y-N-I-C-H, if you want to look it up on the internet.
Yes, there is a plethora of information on the internet on that. And the great thing about History is Wrong is that the book has, the Voynich manuscript, a whole bunch of pages are recreated or reprinted in History is Wrong. And it's just a visually stunning piece of work, because, number one, no one so far has been able to translate the script. No one knows exactly what this is all about, and there are some very interesting pictures in there that are eerily reminiscent of, you know, the Fountain of Youth, or an idea of what the Fountain of Youth could have looked like. But there are also pictures or paintings and drawings of these hybrid beings, half man, half animal, and just a very fantastical piece of work. And it has thrown scientists for a loop.
There's some strange looking plants. I just, on Wikipedia, there's copies of these strange looking plants that, and these women bathing in tubs. It's a very odd thing, and they think it, well, at least von Däniken says it might go back to Roger Bacon, the alchemist, but no one's really sure what it's about. So what was
And here is the crazy thing, that, you know, there is a way of authenticating. See, the big question right now is the Voynich manuscript authentic, yes or no? Because only a few years ago, we had a, not we, but the world, has sort of been duped when they finally tested the Vinland map. And the Vinland map, the Vinland map, V-I-N-L-A-N-D, the Vinland map was this map that was discovered, you know, that was proposed to be or purported to be ancient, but when it was tested, they found that the ink, or parts of the ink that were used, was from the 19th century.
And it wasn't, you know, it was supposed to go back to the Norse, right? Who said they mapped North America before Columbus, and
exactly.
And Yale University has that document and the Voynich.
They have it just like they have the Voynich manuscript. And so now they are refusing to date or test the Voynich manuscript because out of fear of another embarrassment. And I'm asking myself, what embarrassment? If it really is a modern fake, let the world know. Who cares? There is other stuff out there that's as exciting. You know, right. Just because something turns out to be a modern forgery doesn't mean that, you know, all mysteries all of a sudden are solved and done for.
Well, have you seen it in person? Have you been to Yale University to look at this document?
No, I have not. It's very, very difficult to actually get the permission to, you know, look at this, especially if they find out you're from the alternative history field.
but why did von Däniken make such a big deal about this in History is Wrong? What's the key point of it, do you feel?
Well, because, I mean, some of the drawings and, you know, some of the connections that the conclusion that he's drawn is, number one, it's an adventure story. That's first and foremost. And number two, it is a mystery, because there are so many linguists out there, so many, you know, people that are into translating ancient scripts, and none of them have been able to solve the riddle, including, I mean, this is about akin to the Phaistos disc of ancient Greece on the island of Crete. I mean, there's this little disc with this incredible looking script on it, and so far, thousands of years later, we still haven't figured out what this is. So the reason why it's a big deal is because, you know, billions of dollars are spent on useless projects, yet when it comes to mankind's history and when it comes to finding out the truth, then, yeah, you know, we don't have money for this right now. Or, you know, this project, you know, it can wait. No, it can't wait. Somebody had to raise the questions, and if it was Eric von Däniken, more power to him, that's fantastic.
No, it's a very, it's not just scribble. I mean, it's 272 pages of this very interesting script writing with pictures. I'm looking at it.
It looks like, you know, it's definitely longhand. It was written by hand. It's not like it was printed or anything like this. And the pages are made of vellum. And, you know, it looks like the paintings or the drawings have been colored at a later point. You know, but it's very bizarre. That's what it all comes down to. It's just a bizarre book. Very bizarre.
Well, the writing actually looks like Telugu, Indian script, but I'm sure the linguists have already looked at that. Those round letters and things like that. The other big point in this book is, and von Däniken goes back to it a lot, is the whole story of Enoch. Can you relate the whole Enoch connection to von Däniken's work?
Well, of course. I mean, Enoch is, one fascinating person. I mean, according to the legends of the Jews from the very ancient times, he was one of the kings of all mankind who ruled for a period of 243 years. You see, in the book of Genesis, for example, he was named to be having been the seventh of the 10 patriarchs. And then there is the Egyptian ancient book of called the Hittat, H-I-T-A-T. Very rare book, very few copies exist. And Enoch, among others, is referred in there as the builder of the Great Pyramid. Now, today, Enoch is mainly known for the Book of Enoch, which is the prophet's eyewitness report that contains very intriguing, detailed descriptions of a journey through the sky, visiting other worlds, and many conversations with angels. And by the way, I just did some air quotes with angels because there is no such thing as angels. I'm sorry, that is not
what... What do you mean?
Well, that's not what the ancient astral is all about. Angels are misinterpreted flesh and blood extraterrestrials that our ancestors thought were angels or divine in nature, and they were not. Our ancestors, you see, here is the main problem with all of this, and that is our ancestors, whatever period they were from, were highly intelligent. They are as they were as intelligent as we are today. However, their technological frame of reference was different to our technological frame of reference. So, when they saw something flying up in the sky that landed, and you know, beings emerged from that craft, they had no idea that a nuts and bolts technology enabled those beings to fly around in this craft. So those beings automatically became gods. They automatically became angels. And there is no such thing as gods and angels. I speak about gods, it's always lowercase g.
Right. They are extraterrestrials. But I do think there are interdimensional beings, and maybe some people will call them angels. Well, I mean, how do you and von Däniken feel about dimensional realities?
That's okay. That's no problem, but that's not our cup of tea. The ancient astronaut theory does not talk about interdimensional beings, or at least that's not what I have proposed, what Eric has proposed, or what the Zacharias Sitchin has proposed. To us, it is pretty much just the way we live on planet Earth with technology, just on steroids, 20,000 times more advanced. And and look, physicists like Dr. Michio Kaku has made a calculation where the energy resources that you need to become an interdimensional being is infinitely greater than taking a spaceship and traveling from point A to point B.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, I mean,
but
it's,
people
it's,
are
I'm
working
sorry.
On that technology. There is a
of
guy
course.
Named Nassim Haramim. Do you know Nassim Haramim, Crossing the Event Horizon? He's actually working on a technology that will use black holes to move through dimensional space. But that's something else. But so Von Daniken's been developing this whole thesis for the last 35 years, which I believe. I'm with you guys. No, definitely, I do think we were seeded here. The gods, whoever you want to call, were bred with the primates and produced this intelligence in the earth-based mammals that we are. But how has the theory grown and changed in the last 30 years? I mean,
now I would like to interject that nowhere does the ancient astronaut theory say that extraterrestrial interbred with primates. That is,
oh,
that
it doesn't
is
say
correct.
That the gods of man bred with the. You, so what did they just landed here then? Then tell me.
No. It was a genetic intervention or a targeted mutation of our genes, just like what we do every day with animals. We change their genes. I mean, there's a mouse now that has a human ear.
I
that
know, I
grows
that.
On the side of it. I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable. So all this genetic stuff that we're quote-unquote discovering right now is merely a rediscovery that these things have happened here on planet Earth for thousands of years. Because, for example, in ancient Egypt, we have hundreds and hundreds of reliefs and friezes and sculptures inside and outside of temples of these mixed beings, these hybrid beings, half man, half animal. The Egyptian texts are very specific in saying that these creatures existed. They were real. So for us today, for our mainstream scientists to say that, oh, no, all this was just fantasy, you know, they wanted to frighten their minions, you know, this is absolutely nothing, it's all, you know, just a figment of their imagination, I think that's an insult in the face of our ancestors. If our ancestors said in very specific texts, and this is worldwide, by the way, this is not just exclusive to Egypt, that a certain story happened and it involved, you know, these weird teachers from the sky or guardians of the sky that a long, long time ago descended from the sky, we should listen to that. Of course they embellished their stories and added stuff. But to every mythology, to every legend, to every story, there is a kernel of truth. And that's
right.
What we're after.
No, I'm with you with that for sure. So but getting back to the original theory, just so I get it right, the gods or these high-tech aliens came and took the primates here and genetically manipulated the primates to make humans? Is that basically the
pretty
theory?
Much. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know, I mean, again, and I've mentioned this before, that, you know, between primates and Homo sapiens, there were all a whole bunch of other, you know, predecessors to man. So the question arises, also there we're faced with the same problem where all these other predecessors to man, they all just cropped out of nowhere. There is no gradual fossil record that everybody talks about exists. It does not exist. So the question is then, could it be that all these other predecessors were also an experiment in genetic engineering? I mean,
well,
it all comes down to genetic engineering.
You would think that they were early experiments that didn't seem to hold until they got the Homo sapien, and that
right,
was one.
because whoever visited us in the past was not a divine being; they were regular folks like you and me.
That's the
I mean, you know,
trial and error.
Exactly.
So,
and if it would have been, yeah.
Yeah. No,
go
it would have been. No, I'm just wondering if we know where these beings were from, and any evidence in what von Däniken's been researching about director and home.
Well, not really. I mean, no. This is what I have a bit, and also Eric, you know, a bit of a difference of opinion with the modern UFO field. That the modern UFO field, you know, many investigators and many abductees, I mean, bless their hearts, that they say, you know, we know exactly that these extraterrestrials have come from this planet. We
from
know that
Zeta Reticula, really, they
yeah,
say.
Yeah, the spaceship was named this, the spaceship was named that, the name of the commander was this, da da da. So, you know, that is too much information. Just the fact that we can tell the general public that we have been visited by extraterrestrials who visited us from deep space, that's enough for the general populace to digest. There is no need to say, well, they came from the planet Zubar. There is absolutely no need, because not only does it make you sound absolutely crazy in mainstream society, but that's too much. To say that our planet has been visited by ETs, that's it. That's all that's important. It doesn't matter what the name of the commander was and what the ship looked like or whatever or where they're from.
Visited, and actually we are the offspring of those genetic experiments is something I think a lot of religions probably won't handle so well. I think that's the big resistance, isn't it?
Well, here is the big untold secret that I'm just going to tell you and no one else, right?
Okay.
Modern-day religions, especially the big three, are a direct result of extraterrestrial visitation in the remote past.
Mm-hmm.
Because
the gods
our
of old.
Ancestors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You mean
yes,
the gods, Jehovah and Allah and whoever.
Sure. I mean, one thing that I'm sure a whole bunch of listeners will appreciate is that, you know, the God that is described in the Old Testament, I'm sorry to say, ladies and gentlemen, was not God. It was a flesh and blood extraterrestrial who was misinterpreted to be God by our ancestors, whose technological frame of reference was inferior or less than it is today. Now, that does not mean that I personally don't believe in God. Of course I do, but my God has absolutely nothing to do with the God that's described in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament God was a vindictive flesh-and-blood extraterrestrial.
I believe that. I do believe that, and I think that's exactly what Zachariah Sitchin says as well. And so, but I do think we're still being visited by these race of beings, maybe checking on their creation just to see how their experiments are going. Do you ever think they will make themselves known, our parents, our great-grandparents?
I like that. Our great-grandparents, I love that very much.
Yeah.
The short answer to that is yes, of course, because that's what they promised. Not only did they all promise to return, but, you know, we all grew up with Star Wars and with Star Trek and all of this, that ultimately that will be the case, that we will interact with extraterrestrial civilizations. Now, that was the short answer. The long answer is that will it happen soon? I doubt it. I also don't think it has anything to do with 2012. Many have surmised that 2012 might be a period or a time when the extraterrestrials will come back. I don't think anything will happen in 2012, but will we ever make public or official contact with extraterrestrials? No question. Absolutely. And that
well, I've interviewed a lot of people in the disclosure movement. Stephen Bassett was just a guest on the show. Michael Sala. There's a whole push for government disclosure of UFO records and documents, video footage. So I think we are getting closer to this paradigm shift.
And right.
I think Von Daniken actually...
Oh, no, I mean, there's definitely a paradigm shift going on, and we are living in very exciting times right now. Mm. I mean, you know, it's really spectacular what's happening, all the technology that we have at our disposal, and, you know, just to think that we might return to the moon very soon, and we might go back to, or not back, but we will go to Mars, you know... These are all exciting.
I think there's a civilization on Mars that's underneath the surface. I think, you know, but there was probably, don't you think there was a civilization on Mars?
Well, I mean, that has been, theorized about for decades now.
Right.
And personally, I have not made up my mind.
Right. But, no, it's very. I mean, it's also exciting about just the technology we have in weaving together the group mind, the global mind, with the internet. We're all so much more connected that I think we will pop to a new level. New ideas like this are circulating the planet faster and faster.
Oh, so sure. I mean, this is what, you know, my personal hope is for 2012. It's an expansion of consciousness. On a very personal level, I don't think it has anything to do with the end of days. The apocalypse will not arrive. It's all, you know, it's all this, you know, doom and gloom scenario that 2012, you know, the whole world will end. Baloney. It will not end. Everything will be fine on the 22nd of December. We'll go and have a beer. No problem. It'll be a day like anything else.
Well,
nothing will happen. That's the thing.
Thank you, Giorgio. We'll see, but just give us a little rundown about your magazine, Legends. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's Legendary Times, and it's the only magazine in the world dedicated to the ancient astronaut theory, and we've got many contributors that write for it, including Eric Von Daniken, Zacharias Sitchin, David Childress, myself, and you can check it out at legendarytimes.com. And if you go to the free info section, I'll send you, and fill out your name and information, I'll send you a free copy of Legendary Times magazine with the hopes that you'll join us in our quest to unearth mankind's cosmic past.
Great. So I've been talking to Giorgio Tsoukalos, who works with Eric Von Daniken, and his latest book is History is Wrong. Just like one final word about History is Wrong. Can you give us something?
It is exciting to see Eric's 29th book in print, and it's as much of a roller coaster ride as all the others. So buckle up, sit down, and just enjoy the ride.
Well, thank you, Giorgio, for being a guest on New Realities. I've been talking to Giorgio Tsoukalos, connected with Eric Von Daniken's latest book, and I'm Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net and check my website, newrealities.com. I'll be in touch, Giorgio. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me on the program.